childhood, I think, and mm-hmm. how much richer it would have been.
You're on.
I'm on.
All right.
You're on.
Now, in addition to the adult playhouse, see, there was a tremendous activity involving teenagers.
This
is
all the Y.
This is all the Y.
Uh-huh.
At that time, the Y had, I don't know how many clubs they had at the Y, say, teenage clubs.
Mm-hmm.
This was before the day of sororities and fraternities. These were clubs. There was the Ralph Sugar Club. There was the Enoch Rao Club. I mean, there's a whole roster of them, and I'm sure that they would be available to you. Now, I have to go back a little bit. The predecessor of the programs at the Y were the programs at the Iron Kaufman Settlement, and quite a few of the people who came over to the Y, they had started there, and there they had a very full program. Actually, they gave weekly plays there. The kids were involved in giving weekly plays, one-act plays. So they had to get back to the Y Playhouse, in addition to the adult theater, they had a teenage activity, and it was known as the one-act play contest, that once a year, every club at the Y could enter into this one-act play contest. And they would get either directors themselves, or the Y would furnish a director. I would be a director several years. I was a director for, mm-hmm. You get a club. They would assign a club for you, and you would get with the club, and you'd pick a play and start rehearsing. And then they had a series of evenings in which four or five one-act plays were given in an evening, and there would be an eventual winner, and there was tremendous excitement, and this was just a wonderful activity. And some of the people who were involved in the one-act play contest with the clubs would eventually become involved with the adult playhouse.
Uh-huh. And there was an audience for that.
There was an audience, of course. Well, there was a natural audience for that. Sam always managed, Sam Maul, he always managed to have the first play of the season be one with a large cast.
Okay.
You had mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts and uncles.
Okay.
So for the one-act play contest, of course, they had their own built-in audience, the same audience
that's great.
The parents and the grandparents and the uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters, and everybody showed up, and there was tremendous excitement. It was really a great activity there.
That sounds terrific. What organizations were you active in then? I don't know how you had time to be active in any organization.
No, I wasn't active then, except in trying to start this business, and the theater, and that took up most of my time. Other than that, I went to concerts.
Okay. Can you tell us something about how you were affected by the war? Did your life change very much, or?
Well, I took 4 years off, and I was drafted, and I became an artillery officer, and with the 97th Infantry Division. As a matter of fact, we had a reunion just 6 weeks ago down in Arkansas, of all places, and my business had already started, so when I went off, our wives kept the business. My partner, my sister, who was my partner's wife, that was Nora Harris, and my wife, whenever She was in Pittsburgh. They sort of kept the business going for... Oh, and then my brother, who was not in the Army. And, of course, neither of my brother-in-laws were in the Army. So they kept the business running. And then I got picked up where we left off. Fortunately, I came through it without injury, although I was in the European theater for about 6 months in the European theater. Really? And then...
And where was that located?
Well, I went overseas, let me see, in February. Let me see, when was VE Day? It was 19... Went overseas in February of 1945. And... was with the 97th Division, and I got a battle star for participating in the campaign of the Ruhr Pockets. Mm-hmm. We finished there, and when the war ended, I was in Czechoslovakia with the 97th Division, and then we came back to the United States and went to Japan, where I served with the Army of Occupation in Japan, and for about 6 months, and then came back to Pittsburgh in early of 1946, and started my civilian life again.
And what was this European theater?
Well, that's a... has nothing to do with theater. It has nothing to do... There was the Pacific Theater, the European Theater.
Okay. Okay. Has your family been a religious one? I take it it hasn't been so religious.
I married a very religious woman.
Really?
Yes.
Libby came from an Orthodox home.
Libby came from a very Orthodox home, so I've... Managed to adapt.
She adapted and you adapted,
I adapted.
Well, she adapted to your theater.
Oh, she adapted to my theater, yes,
right?
And I adapted to...
That's where marriage is compromising,
right? Yes, that's right. And I adapted to her religious needs.
Okay. And are you active in a particular synagogue now?
We are members of Dor Hadash, the Reconstructionist.
Okay. You're there sometimes,
there.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what organizations are you active in now?
Well, my activity is mainly with the United Jewish Federation, where I've been involved very heavily. I would say since 1957. I think I became involved in 1957 during the Sinai War. And I've been involved ever since then in fundraising and in various committees.
It must feel good to have accomplished so many things, and as far as I'm concerned, you're relatively young. How do you view your accomplishments and your successes? It must feel good to have done all these things.
Basically, I feel satisfied with what I have done in my life for myself. So I've had a very rich experiences in not only in being in theater, but in the people I have met and the careers that I have followed, you know, from those contacts, and also for my participation in the activities of the Jewish community. During the time I was in Europe, I visited the concentration camp at Theresienstadt. That's mispronounced, but it's like that. And this was about two or three weeks after the camp had been liberated, the Jewish prisoners were still there in their black and white striped uniforms, and They were still, they still looked like death. And I can still remember the piles of shoes, you know, outside the crematorium. And it had quite an effect. So I've been very, very much concerned with the, my concern is with the survival of the Jewish people.
That's very well put, really. Let's go back a little bit to theater. I guess you did tell us how you view Pittsburgh theater now. I mean, it doesn't have the what it had before.
Well, the theater...
different.
The Pittsburgh Public Theater is a very good theater. I think it's very professional, very fine. Very fine theater.
Today,
yes. Mm-hmm. If I were to judge it in terms of the Pittsburgh Playhouse in which I was involved, I'd say it's somewhat, well, it's all professional, mm-hmm. and it's on a par with the theater anywhere in the country. So that, from that point of view, we have good theater today in Pittsburgh. The only thing we miss are the touring companies. We have no place.
Right.
There's no place in Pittsburgh for the touring companies to come. So we miss that unless you go to New York, and it's.
What do you mean? What we have Heinz Hall here, and we have the Stanley. Aren't those plays to come? What's the difference?
You see something.
That and a
the difference.
Company?
The difference between seeing a play in Heinz Hall. I won't go to Heinz Hall to
I
see
don't
a
like
play.
It either,
I won't go because
aren't
it's mic'd.
It's
well, they are touring companies,
terrible.
But.
They are.
These are not the kind of touring companies that came in those days when practically all the shows in New York eventually formed a touring company,
mm-hmm.
and they came to a theater like the Nixon, who that let me see, I would say the Nixon held about maybe 1,800 to 2,000 people. It was very intimate theater,
mm-hmm.
and. And more like a New York theater. In order, if you want to see that kind of theater today, you have to go to New York.
Are you saying Heinz Hall and Stanley are considerably
they're too
larger?
They're too big. They were not built. They were not built
kind of
for drama. They were built for movie theaters,
mm-hmm.
and they had stage shows. The reason they have stage facilities is that in addition to the movies, there were stage shows that went on, you know, sort of a vaudeville variety,
yeah.
shows that went on. There no plays, just acts, you know, musicians, comedians, acrobats, a master of ceremonies. They were acoustically very good. They were not mic'd in the... They did not mic them. They did not need to be mic'd in those days. Anybody who got on a stage could be heard,
mm-hmm.
up to the last row of the balcony in those large theaters. So that type of intimate theater is gone from Pittsburgh.
Okay. Can you straighten something out for me? I'm not really clear. I know there was the Y Theater.
Yes.
Which is what you were active in.
Yes.
The Pittsburgh Playhouse.
All right, let me go through that for you.
Okay, because I'm not really clear if they were separate or you were active in both. Or
let's take the Y Playhouse.
Okay.
All right, now, its early history, I was not involved in its early history. Whatever I give you on its early history is from what, you know, from what I picked up.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the Y Playhouse started... practically with the opening of the Y in 1925 and 26, and at first they formed a playhouse there, and I recall the names of the there was a group from the Stouts who were in the drama department at Tech. Were the directors there,
mm-hmm.
for a while, and then something happened, and they did very, very good, great theater there. You know, after all, they were practically allied with the Playhouse at
mm-hmm.
At Tech.
Okay.
I think there was a director by the name of Gelandre was there. But then something must have happened. I think it had something to do with the Depression, with the, you know, with the lack of funds from, you know, 1929. And there was a transformation there. And the Y Playhouse continued. The director was Al Golden. Al Golden. That original group moved out. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of that original group, and Maury Fierst was one of the people involved. His name is the name that I know. Moved out of there and formed a playhouse over on Braddock Avenue, which was later to become the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
The one that's now on Craft.
The one that's now on Craft Avenue. Now, something happened in that group. Now, your source for all of this would be Helen Rau, because her husband, Richard Rau, was involved in all this, and she was involved in this. That group eventually ended up on Craft Avenue.
Okay.
All right. Now you have the Y Playhouse and the Pittsburgh Playhouse.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Y Playhouse continued as a as an activity of the YM and WHA.
Mm-hmm.
And after Al Golden, Sam Moll became the director, and he was the director there for many years.
Okay.
I've described that,
yes,
that to you, the one-act play contest and
right,
all of that. And the group, and the other group, became the Pittsburgh Playhouse,
mm-hmm,
and of course they became more of a Pittsburgh community theater, mm-hmm, in which the whole community, they got financial support from the community, and
the other was strictly the Jewish
community. And the other was strictly the Jewish community.
Okay, I think I understand.
So the Y Playhouse was what it was called at the YM and WHA.
It was Y Playhouse.
In the location.
Yes,
now,
it was the Y Playhouse.
Where in that building did they hold the plays?
In the auditorium.
Were there permanent seats there?
No, the same.
The way it is
the
today.
The same as it is today. The only thing is that that apron, which is now... There's a thrust there.
Right.
There's an apron.
Uh-huh.
Was not there at the time.
Okay.
That apron, the reason that apron is there, was that after the war, they wanted to revive the Y Playhouse ceased to exist. See, it just disintegrated for many reasons. The age group, that age group that was involved found different things to
right
do. Economically,
right,
they were... there was more money earlier in their lives. There were many reasons. But anyhow, after a few years, the Y had, the Playhouse had disappeared. And a few years later, in the early 50s, there was a move to revive it. Meyerberger and I were consulted as to what they should do. We advised him not to try to revive it, that on basis upon which it had, the basis upon which it had existed was no longer there.
Right.
But we did recommend to them that they revive the one-act play contest, see, because, and they welcomed it because they were, at that time, were trying to involve the teenagers through the teenagers there. Well, what we said was get involve the fraternities in Squirrel Hill
at the high school.
Involve them, bring them into the YMHA to participate in a one act play contest.
Okay. Each fraternity do a
each fraternity play. Do okay. one
and
act
they're
play.
The fraternities from the high school.
Fraternities from the high school.
Uh-huh.
And they went along with that idea. And we had a problem of directors. So I went over to Tech, and I found that they were willing to participate because they had second and third year directing students,
mm-hmm,
who needed somebody to direct.
Right.
Right. So the two came together. And for several years, they had this one-act play contest there, which, and we told them there, if there's any basis, say, for an adult theater, it'll grow out of these people because they'll go so far, and then they'll want to do something, you know, more advanced, say. Well, it didn't turn out that way. What they wanted to do, what it led to, was a yearly musical.
Okay.
That's what it led to. It didn't lead to another adult way of playhouse. It led to this yearly musical that they put on. Well, they did it for 2 or 3 years, and then they had so many kids involved, and they didn't have room on the stage. I think they still have a policy that anybody who shows up gets into it.
And that's without the grandmothers and the grandfathers.
Yeah. Anybody, well, gets into the play. Anybody who shows up, they don't turn anybody down, all right? So it got so big that it was too small for the stage as it existed.
So that's how the
and that's
apron
the reason that the apron, that's the reason
that's
that
a,
the apron
that's
is,
a good
is on
the
stage. Do
they still have the musical today?
Yes, I think they do. They've had it every year.
At this time, when they ask you for your suggestions, were you living in Squirrel Hill or were you living in Churchill?
I was living in Churchill at the time.
Mm-hmm. And you're still living in the same town?
I'm still living in Churchill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One other thing that we talked about before, and I said to you, the grapevine told me that you were somehow involved in the Roots and Branches exhibit. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, my involvement, now let's, that's really part of my involvement in theater, or my use of the experience that I gained at the Y Playhouse and later at the Pittsburgh Playhouse. I guess I, for some years, I was the most available at the best price.
Oh, your price is right.
Director for events of the Jewish community. Yes. Mainly with Federation. Not mainly with Federation, no. It mainly with the yearly, the Yom HaAtzmaut celebrations of the founding of the State of Israel.
Right.
I participated as a director and as a participant, but as a director in many of those, and of course using the knowledge that I had gained at the Y and at the Pittsburgh Playhouse. So that knowledge spilled over into doing things other than fundraising for the Jewish community, and from time to time in synagogue activities, or where they honored some person in the some special program that they would do in a synagogue, maybe something on the for instance on the Warsaw Ghetto that they would do in a synagogue. Although I avoid being involved in synagogue things that have to do with the synagogue. I would involve myself in synagogue things having to do with the greater Jewish community. And there are other people who Shirley Katz gets involved, and she involves me.
Okay.
And so the specific thing that you asked about, the Roots and Branches, well, and then Frida Alber also allows herself and participates in these types of things. We do scripts, narrations, what have you.
Well, it's great that you're available because, you know, with the experience that you've had, you know,
yes,
there probably not
yeah.
many more people have had
experience
yeah, that you've had.
That's right. We've had a lot of experience, and we think we do
I thought it was fabulous.
Job, yes.
You know, I didn't know that was your voice. And now I'm glad to meet you. One other thing I was curious about, was there ever any Yiddish theater in Pittsburgh?
The Yiddish theater in Pittsburgh were traveling. There was no homegrown Yiddish theater that I ever knew of. Although Eddie Steinfeld, if you want filled in on that in that area, Eddie Steinfeld would be the person to contact. He would know. But most of the the Yiddish theater that I ever saw here, where it came down to with traveling companies, and they would, in the early days, they would come down to the Center Square Theater on Center Avenue, which was the street on which the Iron Kaufman settlement was.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of theaters there. That one had facilities for, the Center Square had facilities for producing shows, had lights.
The Irene Kaufman Settlement had their own theater also?
Oh, yes, they had the Ikes. I think they called themselves the Ikes Players.
Okay.
Oh, they
you
had
were
a very
in
no.
That also?
That's but
okay.
If you really want the whole scope,
uh-huh.
if you really want the whole scope, you've got to get hold of Sam Mall.
Uh-huh.
See, and he was very heavily involved down there. People came out of there. I don't know if the name Walt Framer is familiar to you. Now, Walt Framer was active at the, and his wife Hannah were active down there at the, what they call the Ikes, and then later at the Y, and then of course Walt went on to greater things.
Mm-hmm.
See, so that would be your source for that. Helen Rao would be your source for what went on with the group that broke off from the Y Playhouse, which eventually became the Pittsburgh Playhouse in two steps, one over to Braddock Avenue and then one down to Craft Avenue, as I say her.
Is the building still there on Braddock Avenue that they were in?
I think it's a school now. It's a school. I think it was part of Shadyside Academy then. I'm not sure of that. That was there.
So it was that part of Braddock Avenue, you're
R-A-U-H.
Saying, where the junior school is.
Yes.
I don't know.
R-A-U-H.
Yeah.
Helen
Rao. She was very active at the...
She was a
graduate of Carnegie Tech. She was very active at the...
And her son is still involved, I think.
Yes, Richard Rao is a very good actor. He's one of my favorite actors around town. But Helen was never involved at, as far as I know, was not involved at the Y, because she was a tech graduate, and she was they were very, very heavily involved at the Pittsburgh Playhouse. Richard Rao, incidentally, are you going to get involved in music?
Whatever they
I understand that Richard Rao was instrumental in bringing Elias Breskin. Is that the name? Let me see. I have a name down here.
I'll
turn it off.
Yes.
A minute till I find
okay.
the name. To Pittsburgh, and that was actually the revival of the Pittsburgh Symphony. So if you want
to.
Helen would be a good source person.
When you said that you've gone to concerts, is that what you meant? You were going to Pittsburgh Symphony?
Well, Pittsburgh Symphony, there were Pittsburgh Symphony concerts, there were chamber music. There were chamber music.
At the schools, too.
Pardon?
At the schools, also, I guess they had, small groups and.
I mean, at the universities.
Yeah.
Oh, that's been going on for a long time.
I know that
most of the concerts that we went to were at the Y series.
Mm-hmm.
The concerts that that we subscribed to were the Y series, and the and I used to go to most of the Pittsburgh Symphony concerts.
I think that's what I.
And there were various chamber music series from time to time, but. Let's say in Pittsburgh, if you want music, there's no problem in getting it.
I'll go along with that. I see that you've really done your homework, and we really appreciate it.
Is there anything else that you feel that we haven't asked you in the couple minutes that we have left on this tape? Is there anything you want to add?
Well, let me, have you got it off?
No, it's on. You
turn
can keep on talking.
Oh, well, I just want to
It's going to run out in
these.
About 2-3 minutes.
Well, there's some people. I made a list of people here who well-known, people who have, who came through the Playhouse, through the Y, and went on to prominence in one field or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Walt Framer. There was Joe Beru, and that's an interesting story. Sam Mall used to wait till the last day or so to pick up extras that just came on stage. And he needed one for one play. I forget what the play was. And he went out to the gym, and he saw this kid running around, and called him over. He said, "Would you like to be in a play?" The guy said, "Sure." He said, "Sure, I'd like to be in a play." And he got in a play. That was Joe Brew, and Joe Brew then became interested, went on to Tech, and he was a Broadway producer. He did. That was, of course, Meyer Burger is very prominent in political, national political. He's a national political figure. Norman Rutkin, I told you about Norman Rutkin. Gertrude Kaplan, Gertrude Kaplan, and of course, Alan Pinsker is probably he's the one that's still out there acting. Sam Schwartz went on to appear in several Broadway shows. And, of course, he's the brother of Esther Lapidus. Yeah. Esther Lapidus also was, her name was Esther Schwartz, and she also appeared in productions at the Y. And all those that I've left out, I'm sorry.
And, wow.
No, I think that... that pretty well. There was one other attempt. That was the Center Stage Players. Now, this was about 5 or 6 years ago. Again, there was a desire to revive something.